Good afternoon, 4:30 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
You have a lot of difficult challenges ahead, but you have the best interests of the children at heart.
Outgoing Kentucky Education Commissioner Terry Holliday bids farewell this afternoon to the state legislature.
Kentucky pays off a big loan ahead of time.
And Johnson County's judge executive says all but one of the county's roads are open, 1 month after a severe flood spread debris over many of them.
In sports, the Reds are in San Diego tonight to open a series with the Padres.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
It'll be mostly cloudy this evening with scattered thunderstorms possible and lows in the upper 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Kentucky has paid off a big federal loan 2 years ahead of schedule. Paul Miles reports.
Governor Beshear says Kentucky businesses will save about $165 million on federal unemployment taxes because the state has paid off a $972 million federal loan. Kentucky began borrowing from the federal government in 2009 when a combination of high unemployment and fewer jobs meant more people qualified for unemployment benefits than the state had money to pay. I'm Paul Miles.
There's another candidate in the race for Kentucky governor. Independent Drew Curtis today filed petitions with the Secretary of State's office to enter the fall contest with Democrat Jack Conway and Republican Matt Bevin. Curtis is a businessman from Versailles who says he's not running just to take votes away from the other candidates.
No, absolutely not. In fact, I get asked this spoiler question a lot, and my thing is that, first of all, they don't get all the votes automatically. We've got 8% in the last poll already, and that's sort of an exciting number because I think that's 100% of the people that actually know I'm running.
Curtis is 42 years old. He's the founder and operator of the website FARC.com.
The author of a new book called Leadership for Low-Performing Schools says principals and other administrators are now expected to produce better academic performance at their schools much quicker. Dr. Daniel Duke is a nationally recognized researcher on school turnaround strategies at the University of Virginia. He testified this afternoon before House and Senate members of the Kentucky General Assembly's Education Committees. Duke says there's less patience for change at low-performing schools.
When I broke into education in the 60s, we were talking about slow and steady change. Now it's quick and dramatic change, turnarounds. The folks we train at UVA are considered unsuccessful if they can't turn around a school in 2 years, meaning reversing a downward trend and beginning to raise performance.
Duke says the prevailing thought for improving schools has shifted from providing incentives to imposing sanctions. Instead of developing comprehensive models for school reform, he says the emphasis is now on replacing personnel.
Kentucky's retiring Commissioner of Education was honored in Frankfort this afternoon for his 6 years of service as the state's top administrator for primary and secondary schools. Dr. Terry Holliday is leaving his post at the end of this month. His tenure has included the implementation of new academic standards, new assessment and accountability measures for teachers, principals, and superintendents, and the development of a system for improving schools and school districts. Holliday appeared before the state legislature's interim joint committee on education.
We've had a tremendous partnership the last 6 years and accomplished a lot of great things together on behalf of the children of Kentucky. I wish I'd fixed everything before I retired, but there's plenty of work to do for the children.
In March of this year, the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards named Holliday the recipient of the 2015 James A. Kelly Award for Advanced Accomplishing Teaching. Holliday was Kentucky's fifth education commissioner. The search continues for his replacement.
Moorhead State University's provost is seeking proposals from faculty for new academic programs as the school restructures and refines its course offerings. Dr. Stephen Ralston says MSU wants its fields of study up to date and relevant to today's employment picture. In fact, he says the university intends to use market research to determine if proposed new programs have a future.
And what'll be my future is when a student goes through that program, he or she has a reasonable expectation there's something on the other end. And marketing research can help us do that. And so there's a kind of a process for soliciting new ideas, vetting those new ideas. And, of course, the faculty are involved in the third piece of making sure the curriculum is correct and it's the right courses at the right time and offered in the right way.
Ralston says developing new courses at Morehead State is the next step in the university's recent self-study of its academic offerings.
Following a nationwide search, Morehead State University has a new Dean of Students and Assistant Vice President. Max Ammons was selected for the post, which has been vacant since Kevin Kett's departure a year ago. Ammons is a former professor of military science at MSU and co-chaired the Kentucky Education and Employment Partnership for Veterans. He says he's been interested in becoming Dean of Students for many years.
What I want to be able to do is establish Morehead State University as a model institution when it comes to student success, student development in the realm of student life, looking at student life as a co-curricular component of the university.
Ammons is a Morehead resident. He has over 8 years of experience in higher education within academic affairs and student life.
A published report says that the boards at Kentucky's largest public universities have more Democrats than they're supposed to. We get details from Ted Werben.
The board members overseeing the University of Kentucky, the University of Louisville, and the Kentucky Community and Technical College system are overwhelmingly Democrats, many of whom donated to the election campaign of Governor Steve Beshear. The report comes 8 years after Beshear settled a lawsuit filed against previous GOP Governor Ernie Fletcher for having too many Republicans on college boards. I'm Ted Werben.
Last year, State Auditor Adam Edelin released a report detailing shortcomings in the Fayette County School District's financial management practices, salary policies, and other areas. And now, the top state taxpayer watchdog has issued a list of recommendations for districts hoping to avoid that fate. The 75 suggestions were culled from more than 20 special school district examinations conducted by Edelin's office over the last 3 years. Spokesperson Stephanie Holscher says they include measures to strengthen financial oversight, eliminate conflicts of interest, and to open new avenues for employees wishing to report suspicious activities.
Ensuring that school districts have effective tools for employees and staff to report, you know, allegations of waste or things of that nature without fear of retribution is really important.
Holscher says 11 of the recommendations match those found in the 2014 FCPS report.
A month after severe flash flooding swept away homes, cars, and sections of pavement in Johnson County's Flat Gap community, nearly all of the county's roads and bridges have been reopened. That's the word from Judge Executive Tucker Daniel.
We've got one road, I think, that was closed not because of this flood, but because of an earlier flood that we've got contracts let on, and the contractors are trying to get in and do that. And that's another thing. We had three outstanding disaster declarations prior to this flash flooding, and they stretched back all the way back to last year, early last fall.
Daniel says the county had still not recovered from those earlier natural disasters when the July storm hit.
A Paintsville woman who has helped coordinate flood relief efforts through the First Christian Church says most of the families who lost their homes in last month's flood will probably stay in Johnson County. Ann Ratliff says 100 to 150 homes were destroyed by the storm, and many of the people who lived in them are still in temporary housing. However, she doesn't think they'll go very far once they decide what they want to do about the future.
I think they will stay in Paintsville and Johnson County. I don't think they'll relocate. It would surprise me if they did, because honestly, most of our people they're anchored by family. Their families are here. They've already been through such a drastic upheaval in their lives. Most people aren't looking for something else.
Ratliff says it'll probably take about 3 years just to repair embankments around creeks that overflowed.
Holly Branch Road in Lewis County has been reopened for school bus traffic about 4 months after part of it collapsed into a creek following heavy rains last spring. Judge Executive Todd Ruckel says the road still needs to be blacktopped, but gravel has been spread on a formerly washed-out section to make it safe for buses to pick up children. He says the repair of Holly Branch is a massive project, but fortunately, the federal government is picking up the cost.
FEMA did come in on that project. It's what they consider a large project. And a large project, if they approve it, then they cover 100% of the cost. So we did get approved through FEMA for that. So that was good for us. It's not going to cost the taxpayers of our county money, you know, directly out of our county budget.
Ruckel says it's not clear when permanent repairs to the road will be completed. However, he says work is ongoing.
A nonprofit organization is pushing for the legalization of medical marijuana in Kentucky. Kentuckians for Medicinal Marijuana held a meeting Saturday in Owensboro to discuss the initiative. One of those who attended was Daniel Sosh, who suffers from PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder.
Bothered by sounds, smells, different things can trigger different reactions. Cannabis completely eases the symptoms.
Many people who participated in the weekend forum say they have illnesses that are best treated with cannabis.
One of the reasons Scioto County's Children's Services is seeking a tax increase in November has to do with drug abuse in the community, so says the director of the agency, Dr. Laura Fuller. She says Children's Services handled over 2,000 abused and neglected youngsters last year, and that was the most ever.
When I came on board in 2012, we made the decision to begin taking custody of babies that were born addicted to drugs. So those numbers increased exponentially because not only did you have that infant that was born addicted to a substance, but you also had siblings in that household that also needed to be taken into care.
Fuller says it's likely the number of children needing services from the agency will increase even more this year. Children's Services is asking for approval of a property tax that would generate about $1 million a year.
U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell thinks President Obama has done a poor job selling the proposed nuclear agreement with Iran to Congress. The Kentucky Republican says the president has suggested that Congress really just has two choices, approve the deal or go to war. McConnell says that's absurd.
That's never been the alternative. Let me suggest, had the president and his team spent as much time trying to ratchet up the sanctions on the Iranians over the last 2 years as they have entering into an agreement, which most of us are highly skeptical of, as to having any positive impact at all, we'd ended up in a better place.
McConnell says the agreement is not likely to make the Middle East safer. He believes it'll create even more discord.
And finally this afternoon, an event to raise awareness about mental illness in Kentucky takes place Saturday in Louisville. It's the annual Step Forward for Mental Health Walk, sponsored by the Louisville chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Health. It'll be held in Waterfront Park. Gene Henry serves on NAMI's board of directors and is first vice president of Kentucky One Health. She says mental illness is the result of a brain disorder and can strike individuals as young as 14.
And it's like any other illness, like diabetes or hypertension. It's not caused from bad parenting or moral reasons or anything like that. It's an illness just like any other illness.
Henry says mental illness is among the main causes of disability in the U.S.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. For tonight, you can expect mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers and thunderstorms, then just isolated showers and thunderstorms near dawn. The chance of rain is 50% tonight, and we'll see lows around 68 degrees. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny. We'll see a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs reaching around 82, and tomorrow night mostly clear with lows in the lower 60s. On Wednesday, we'll see highs once again in the mid-80s with a 20% chance of rain. It's currently sitting at 78 degrees in Ashland. It's 74 right now in Flemingsburg, 76 in Inez, 79 in Lexington, 76 in Winchester, and 82 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, driving means independence in our busy culture, and older people may be understandably hesitant to give up their car keys. But they're also more willing to consider it when communities such as Lexington make alternate transportation a priority. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre has that story.
Research confirms what many folks already know. The CDC says per mile traveled, fatal crashes increase noticeably at age 70, but are highest among drivers 85 and up. When Catherine Fruin's now adult son was 3, he was run over by an 84-year-old driver. After not talking about the traumatic experience for nearly 2 decades, Fruin came full circle, now using it to shed light on safety and mobility issues facing seniors. In her words, telling stories helps solve problems. So she's in Kentucky today to hear what others have to say.
This issue touches millions of people, and there are millions of stories out there. And if we're really going to solve this problem, it has to be about everybody's stories, not just me, not just my son.
Fruin's stop in Lexington comes near the end of her storybook tour, a 2-month, 12,000-mile road trip across the country. Fruin says she's heard from seniors who have no way to get around, from those who have found solutions, and from too many people whom she describes as terribly hurt by the problem. By 2030, 1 in 5 Americans will be 65 or older. Fruin tells groups if more people speak up, it will be a major step toward solving the problem of how the seniors stay mobile safely.
The other piece of solving the problem, I think, is people noticing that older people can't get around and getting in their cars and offering rides. I think the answer to this national transportation problem is parked in driveways from coast to coast.
Fruin founded the Independent Transportation Network 20 years ago in Portland, Maine. The nonprofit organization, which provides rides to seniors, has expanded to 27 communities around the country, including Lexington. The riders pay a membership fee. Susan Harper says her 89-year-old mom, Dorothy Friend, quit driving 4 years ago for safety reasons and now uses the ITN ride service in Lexington to go to her hairdresser, exercise classes, and the doctor.
It is a part of a solution that works. It's kept her having some independence because she can call and make her ride for her appointment where she needs to go and not depending on family members.
Harper says talking with the drivers is also another good social outlet for her mom. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Coming up at 5 o'clock, the latest national and international news from All Things Considered. And Braxton Howard has a check of sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad, operated by the Kentucky Innovation Network at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad is a local and state-supported business incubator for new or startup businesses with consulting services, office spaces, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad can help grow companies, encourage business partnerships, and create jobs. More information at 606-783-9536.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds are getting ready for their 3-game series against the Padres this evening. They're coming off a 1-3 losing series against the Diamondbacks, which came to a confusing end last night. The teams were tied at 3 runs in the 10th inning, with Arizona loading the bases as Chris Owings belted one over Billy Hamilton's head. The Diamondbacks began celebrating in the middle of the diamond, but the Reds retrieved the ball and began tagging the bases. However, their efforts didn't work out since there was only one out before the hit. Reds manager Brian Price says he's proud despite the loss since his team was really paying attention.
Guys on the field and the guys in the dugout watching the base runners and watching the completion of the play, because in the end what happens is that ball gets hit over Billy's head and it's game over. And right, so players are coming off the field, staff and players on the bench are collecting their stuff to go inside. And our guys were on top of it, and they finished the play. And had there been 2 outs in that situation, we could still be playing right now.
Game time tonight is set for 10-10 in San Diego. The Cincinnati Bengals are continuing to improve during their preseason workouts. Those in attendance of training camp Saturday saw great performances from quarterbacks Andy Dalton, who went 9-for-12 in passes, and A.J. McCarron, who went 10-for-16. Running back Jeremy Hill also returned this season in noticeably better shape. He says along with his performance, he's already noticed an improvement in the first team's offense.
I think, you know, the more and more we practice and the more and more, you know, obviously chemistry will build together and the camaraderie obviously has got to always be there. So, you know, I'm excited. I think the more and more we get closer, use this preseason game to our advantage and just kind of build up and peak at the right moment and get ready for week one.
The Bengals' first preseason game is scheduled for Friday against the Giants. Game time is 7:15. The Morehead State football team has started preseason camp. Over 20 of Coach Rob Tenyard's young Eagles have been on campus for the last 4 weeks, taking classes and learning how the MSU grid program does business.
As far as, you know, our offense and defense and our philosophies, those things and signals and all that stuff, all our bread and butter, those young men have that down pat by the time preseason camp starts. So it's not much as big of a learning curve for them once we start camp and allows them to come in and compete and hopefully try to be an impact in our program.
The Eagles kick off their season on September 5th at James Madison. A former head coach of the Morehead State football team has passed away, MSPR's Tanner Boyd reports.
Coach Jake Hallam, 76, led the Eagles to three consecutive winning campaigns from 1968 to 1971. Following his MSU stint, Hallam moved to Maryland, where he coached the offensive line from 1972 to 1981. In 1982, he began an 8-year assignment as an assistant at Kentucky. In 1990, he accepted the position of offensive line and tight ends coach at Arizona State before leaving the coaching ranks in 1991. Hallam then went on to serve as a senior NFL scout for the New England Patriots, Cleveland Browns, and Philadelphia Eagles. Hallam is survived by his wife, Mabel, and two sons, Todd and Bart. A visitation is scheduled from 3 to 8 p.m. today at Millward Funeral Home on Southland Drive in Lexington. A second visitation is planned in Hallam's home state on August 17th at Dillard's Funeral Home in Pickens, South Carolina, to be followed by a private graveside service on the 18th. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Kentucky has suspended starting linebacker Jason Hatcher for the first 2 games of the football season for violating team rules. It's a big blow for the football Cats as Hatcher will miss the early season showdown at South Carolina on September 12th. It worked so successfully last year that Morehead State Athletics is once again gearing up to, quote, paint the town blue and gold. MSU's football, soccer, volleyball, cheerleading, and dance teams will be out in the town on Saturday, August 15th, distributing schedule posters, schedule cards, and ticket information. The teams, who will be out from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., will be making sure local businesses are outfitted with the latest MSU information. Fans will also see added additions to Main Street this year. More than 50 MSU flags will be hung on the poles along Morehead's business district throughout the 2015-16 season. And finally, NASCAR's Hall of Fame nominee Buddy Baker has died after a brief battle with lung cancer. He was 74 years old. Baker won 19 races, including the 1980 Daytona 500. He was named one of NASCAR's 50 greatest drivers in 1998. That's sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State football season tickets are now available with 5 home games on the schedule, including Butler, Drake, and Dayton. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed more than 1% higher, with the Dow breaking a 7-day losing streak as a recovery in oil prices and a Warren Buffett acquisition boosted investor sentiment. The Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500 both had their best day since May 8th, with the latter index recovering all its losses from last week's rout. And at the close, the Dow Industrials show a gain of 241.79 at 17,615.17, and the S&P 500 was up 26.61 at 2104.18, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 58.25, finishing at 5101.8. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 23-7 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Weakness in the dollar and a refinery outage helped oil trade higher. Brent climbed above $50 a barrel after touching a more than six-month low of $48.26 earlier today, and U.S. crude was up $1.09, finishing at $44.96 a barrel. Mostly disappointing data out of China initially weighed on oil prices as Chinese exports fell 8.3% in July. The Shanghai Composite, however, surged nearly 5% to a two-week high amid hopes of further stimulus and corporate restructuring in key sectors, and the Hang Seng Index closed mildly lower. Well, among blue chips, Apple was up 3.6% for its third best day of the year. Caterpillar surged 3.7% for its second best day of the year. Both stocks had actually positive coverage in the Barron's magazine over the weekend. Biotech stocks recovered from recent losses, with iShares NASDAQ Biotech ETF up 0.75%, and Dow Transports jumped nearly 1.5%. Precision Castparts surged 19% on news that Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway Incorporated will acquire the maker of aircraft equipment for $235 a share, making for an all-cash deal of about $37.2 billion. And IBM gained more than 1% after Buffett said on CNBC that he loved the stock, and that when IBM's stock price goes down because the company he loves the stock when the stock price goes down because the company can repurchase shares at a better price. And Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway already owns 8.12% stake of IBM. The 10-year Treasury yield gained to 2.23% as bond yields were up slightly, with the 2-year trading flat near 0.73%. And overnight, European stocks closed higher amid U.S. gains on oil's recovery. And the Athens Composite Index was up 2%. As earnings season winds down, reports from Credit Corp, Kraft Heinz, Rackspace, and Shake Shack are all due after the bell. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.44 at $115.17, CSX up 29 cents at 30 and a quarter, AEP up down 6 cents at $56.71, AK Steel up 28 cents at $3.32, Marathon Petroleum up $2.11 at $53.28, and Kroger was down 27 cents at $37.55. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning once more to a look at the weather forecast for the Moorhead State Public Radio listening region, which includes the cities of Moorhead, Owingsville, and Mount Sterling. Your weather for tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll see scattered showers and thunderstorms, then just a chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms near dawn. The chance of rain for the night will be 50%, and we'll see lows in the upper 60s. On tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny, isolated showers in the afternoon. That chance of rain is 20%. We'll see highs reaching up to around 82 degrees. For tomorrow night, it'll be mostly clear. We'll see lows reaching again into the lower 60s. And on Wednesday, it'll be mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of rain. We'll see highs in the lower 80s. It's currently 78 degrees in Ashland. It's 74 in Flemingsburg, 76 in Inez, 79 in Lexington, 76 in Winchester, and it's sitting at 82 degrees here in Moorhead.
That'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Jordan Simonson, Samantha Morrill, and Braxton Howard. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre, and from the Kentucky News Network, Ted Werben, Paul Miles, and Kurt Darling. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.
Thank you.